Hello, welcome to Shaman Sisters Sessions. This is episode 112, and I'm so excited to be here. Today, we are going to be talking about your healing business. And I'm Catherine Bird. I'm here with my dear sister, Michelle Hawk. And we are excited to be doing our first episode of 2021 and to get back into the swing of hosting our podcast again regularly. We've been taking a little bit of a break. So we're excited to be with you and talking about healing business and focusing on this topic for a minute. And if you want, you go ahead and subscribe and like and share and comment and do all the things that you know to do, so I don't have to tell you to do it twice. All right. So, hi, Michelle. How are things with you today?
I'm good. Hey, yeah, way to get back in the groove of things. It's funny, we're talking about your healing business, and both Kat and I have been, maybe you've seen some of our gripes about the entrepreneurial community. So there will definitely be us a little bit kind of highlighting some of the things that we don't like about the business of healing, but also some of the things that we've been implementing in ourselves that we found to be really successful. And with all of that, we are just now kind of, I don't know, I guess I'll speak for myself. I took a little bit of space over the solstice and I was painting and I was making finishing salts and I was walking my dog a lot and just really starting to get back into the energy of how my business is wanting to express in 2021. And we're going to talk about some of the cycles of what's involved with that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
This is all important pieces. So we're going to dive into some stuff around what your business is as as its own healing entity. So Michelle and I both primarily work a lot with practitioners. I'd say most of my clients are practitioners of some sort, and there are all the things that we work on in terms of the self, personal development, energetic development, and skills and tools, and healing ourselves in different ways and advancing and mastering things. And then there is also this business aspect of our work when we are practitioners. And this can be a source of a lot of confusion and pain and struggle and strife and a lot of needing support. And so a lot of my clients, we end up working at least some percentage on business development structures and planning and implementing and getting to the core of what it means to be in alignment with who you are as a practitioner and how to make things happen and how to get clients and how to write marketing copy and how to describe this often indescribable work that we do, which is the one of the core struggles I see us have is that we often have quite a few different modalities maybe we're pulling from, plus a lot of intuitive stuff and in the moment things that we do that maybe we don't even know how they work. We don't even know sometimes exactly what it is that we do. We just know that it helps people. And that isn't the easiest way to start a business. It makes it really challenging because we don't have a template like other people do as to exactly I do this plus this equals you get this. This is what happens. Sometimes we don't know the transformation someone's going to have in our care. So many layers here. So this is definitely something that's close to Michelle and I's hearts because we are both entrepreneurs in this world and we talk a lot about our work and our business and how to come into higher alignment with who we are as we evolve, which is such a big piece. Like people like us, probably people like you, like we are changing and evolving sometimes so rapidly. And then we have this thing, this business that is in some way supposed to be, like we think it's supposed to be static for some reason, and is supposed to always look the same, or supposed to do the same stuff. So it can be exhausting just to be in contemplation. I'm getting hot here.
Worked up there, taking off your layers. Yeah.
Well, I have the wood stove going, so I just put some new logs on, so it's getting a little bit, you know, I'm getting a little bit of warmth in the room, but.
Awesome. Well, you can tell when Kat gets excited. She starts taking.
Yeah, I start taking my clothes off.
Obviously, there's a lot of passion here. There's a lot of pieces, Kat, in what you said. That was a great intro to, you know, the complexity of what we're talking about, right? And I think this, when we're working as this calling-based practice, because let's be real, you're here as a healer, not because you thought it was necessarily a good business idea, but because somehow you received a spiritual calling or an awakening that is guiding you to be of service in some way. And I know that's the case for me, that's the case for Kat, that's the case for, I think, pretty much everyone or almost everyone that I come into contact with. Of course, there are the exceptions. Of course, there are the people. I forget what episode we talked about it in. I think it was the how not to be, or spirituality that hurts and shames, or my shaman gave me bad advice. Like one of those two episodes where we talked about the people who get into this industry because it is highly unregulated, because you can charge lots of money without a whole lot of certification, et cetera. So there are some of those people, but the vast majority of all of us are here because it is this extension of our own growth and being on the planet. And I think that's really the core of what it comes down to, Kat. And I heard you say in there, the alignment aspect of how your business is aligning with your values, your soul work, your extension of service. That if that alignment isn't in place, then your business isn't doing its job. Because mm-hmm. as a healing entity, your healing business has its own life force, has its own path and purpose, has its own cycles of power, has its own soul contracts. When we are in alignment with that, ultimately every single part of our work is an extension of ourselves. So we can't treat it as a separate entity. It doesn't work to fit it in formulas. I've tried. I know, and pretty much everyone I know
has tried. Oh my God, those formulas. Oh my God, those formulas.
Those templates that your business coaches give you. Throw them away. Most of them don't help.
sometimes a template can be helpful, but for the most part, I have not found a lot of success in templating my business. And I've wasted time and money and energy on things. Where should we start here? Like, because like you said, it's so complex. There's so many layers here.
Let's start with the bullshit.
Yeah, I definitely want to start like where we sort of get off track, where we get lost, where we get duped, where we make some of our bigger mistakes. Because I've made plenty of mistakes. I have wasted time. I have wasted money. I have wasted energy. Nothing's a waste because it's always a lesson. It's always growth. It's always somehow serving in the end. But let's go into some of the dupes and some of the places where we kind of, oh gosh, why did I do that?
Right. Why did I do that? Or why is this coming up in the industry? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my number one thing that I would like to leave you with is just because, and this is sort of targeted at business coaches, right? Just because someone says they are working in new paradigm business and they have singing bowls over their meditations about money and they have watercolory graphics and like sacred geometry on their website does not mean that they are teaching new paradigm business.
Right. It just means that they have learned how to package their old paradigm bullshit into your package because it sells to you. And you are comfortable with it, which is something that business, like something that we do, right? When you know that you're selling to a certain subset of people, you look at what do they like to look at? What colors do they enjoy? What images are they drawn to? And then you can overlay that stuff on top of pretty much anything and you can sell. I mean, look at the stuff that's out there. You can sell anything to people if it packaged looks like them.
Yeah. And it does not, if someone's saying they're teaching new paradigm business or they're offering new paradigm business, I encourage you to be really curious, I guess, and in looking at, well, what are the tenets and principles of how you're working with business? Okay, if they're still using the same, essentially the same coding, right, the same frequency around, you know, copy and designing a certain way, and like there, you'll get familiar. If you spend any time in this world, you learn to recognize it really, really quickly. There, of course, there are exceptions. Of course, there are people, you know, Kat and I both support people. Neither of us really advertise ourselves as business coaches, but, you know, we both have run programs and done work in supporting our clients with service, how to promote this, their service and how to be in integrity with their service. Mm-hmm. I ran, I think it was in 2019, I ran a program called Alchemy of Service. And Kat, of course, has something that she will be sharing with you as we go along. But it is just be really curious about where it's coming from. Piece number two is the person who is talking about how to run your healing business, are they a business person or are they a healer? Do they have a successful, thriving healing practice? Or do they have a successful business practice for healers?
Right. And for the most part, you are primarily out there, you are not going to find very many practitioners who are doing business coaching. I do know some. I have a friend who's a therapist who helps therapists with their business, and she comes from a, you know, her therapy practice. So she's able to really speak to that subset of how do you be a therapist and run a business. I know some other people, but not that often. And for the most part, like you'll see them say, well, I know what you're doing and I know, you know, healers and so on. But, a lot of times what I hear from people is that, you know, what they're being sold, it's that the person is really good at sales and the person's really good at marketing. So when they're putting something out there, it makes us be like, it triggers us, right? Because they're good at it. So it triggers our desires and our needs for more money and more people and more ease and these things that we want, right? We want these things. So it triggers that, you know, we have a lot of comparison game that shows up when we see this stuff. I totally do. I have business coaches on my feed that I look at their stuff because I'm like, oh, that's so tempting. It's like candy is what it is. It's candy. It's like, oh, I could just buy that. And then I'm going to make $1 million. And right. It's fascinating. The psychology that goes into these things. So I think, I have gone into supporting people on business stuff because I've had to struggle with my business a lot, and going from zero and making no money and charging very little and building different ways and online and retreats and workshops and programs and one-on-one and all of these different things. So I have struggled, and I've had some good business coaches. I would say that my best business coach I ever hired was actually someone who was a trance channel, who was a mystic, who was highly educated in mystery schools, who came from that background. This person knew me. Like they knew they knew who I was. Like they could understand channeling and shamanic work and alchemical work and these things. So I got the most benefit out of that coaching relationship of all the coaches I've hired.
That's huge, right? Can the person who's supporting you in your business actually see beyond the business entity of your business? Can they see you? Can they see the soul of your work? And I think that's really where we're looking at, you know, sort of, well, what is your business as an entity, your healing business as its own body of, are we still in the bullshit part? Are we shifting?
Let's a little bit more bullshit maybe here.
Okay, great. Well, let me finish this. Part, right. So looking into someone who, and the type of business support that actually recognizes and understands the entity of your business as a unique, alive, vital force, rather mm-hmm. than a, you know, a series of programs and systems and funnels and marketing, right? So that's one big difference right there, is how are you treating your business? Also, I'll add that. And are you treating your business like a series of funnels and programs or whatever, or do you recognize the natural vitality of your work as an entity in itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've definitely done some programs with where it's almost like healer is sort of like squished in there with the other people that they're supporting. And then I'll go to an event and I'll look around the room and be like, well, there's definitely coaches and consultants here, right? There's definitely, that's the majority of people, but like, I'm just stick out like a sore thumb. Like it's not me. It's not who I am. So that becomes really hard, because then I'm being sold like a template, right? I'm being sold like a structure that doesn't really allow the life force energy of my work to fully shine through in the way that it does. Because when we're looking at ourselves as healers and this idea of your business as its own entity and its own life force, it's going to evolve and change. It's going to contract and squeeze, and it's going to expand, and it's going to go through its own transformational process, because your business is not a thing. Your business is an experience that you are having, yes, to be of service, but also to go through your own personal transformation and growth. And when we start to shift our perspective around that, then all of the struggle, all of the questioning, all of the searching holds a different mindset, so that then you can have a different experience. You can start to look at it from the perspective of, what is the experience that I want to be having? What is the experience that I want to call in? What is the experience that I'm having? Is my experience that I'm having struggle and disappointment? Well, okay, so where have I been coming from that's creating struggle and disappointment? How am I, and am I encouraging struggle and disappointment in my life in order to have, in order to grow, in order to change, in order to, we cannot, it has its own healing energy. That healing energy is working on others, but it's also working on you. And so when we stop thinking of it in that way, we can make these big mistakes where we see it as this thing that we've got to do stuff to, and we've got to make it fit and go in the template and squeeze it into the funnel, and, you know, how, you know, 6 posts on social media a day in order to be successful. Like, we might lose the life force of what we're actually working with.
Yeah. I want to go back to what you said, Kat, about being in the room and seeing it full of coaches and consultants, right? And having that distinction where, you know, even though we get kind of lumped into the same industry, the same group as coaches, healers are not coaches, and a healing business is not a coaching business. A lot of the funnels and the copy and, you know, a lot of the old paradigm bullshit marketed at healers is actually, I think, intended for coaches. And the people who are putting this out sort of assume that, oh, healers fit in this window too. But I think it's really interesting to look at, there are actually really different systems and structures and regulations involved with being a coach or being a therapist, right? So you have on one hand, people go through all these accredited programs to receive a certain certification, and they do X number of hours within a coaching school, for example, or you go to school to become a therapist and you have your degree in whatever, and you abide by certain set of regulations. Maybe depending on your coaching certificate, you are coaching within a particular established model. So you're adopting somebody else's system. And so you have kind of this world over here, the coaching consulting therapy world, that is its own set of structures, really. And then you have healership. And it's not to say that there's no overlap between the two, because there absolutely is. but healership is based in mystery school. Coaching is not mystery school. Healership is based in, you know, much more like this core spirituality of working with the vital force of energy. Whereas coaching, in depending on the school of coaching that you're going to, but much of coaching is based in sort of the mind, the mental, like 3D world processing inquiry. And those are two fundamentally, in certain ways, like they will not fit in the same box at all. Yeah. So there, if for someone to say, or a business coach to say, oh, I work with coaches and healers on their business, is like, okay, you work with coaches on their business and you're lumping healers into that category.
Right.
It's not the same.
Right. Because as much as, and I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of a coach, right? Like I coach people because I help them problem solve, right? But, but like what you're saying, like the origin of coaching comes from the idea that instead of sort of focusing on like kind of the realm of psychotherapy, and we're going to talk about the past a lot and sort of just kind of stay in these stories, the idea was that in coaching, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what you want, and then we're going to find out what actions you need to take in order to get there. And that was the beginning of the coaching industry, basically.
Yeah. It's mind-based.
Right. And it's mind and action-based. And it's not actually transformation. And as much as people want to call it transformation or say that they create transformation or they've had a transformation, at the core essence of what it is, it did not start out as that. So it still runs this, you know, sort of aspect that it is. And of course, there's healing modalities that have now merged themselves into coaching and into therapy and vice versa. And we're all kind of squishing ourselves together into this melting pot. But in healing work, we are, like you said, it's like this mystery school, this transformative process that we're going through, which I think is why we have more of a struggle with explaining what we do or saying, here's the outcome of what you're going to get.
Right. It's soul-based, right? So coaching and therapy is cognitive based. The vast majority of it is based in some form of cognition as you, your individuated self, as an embodied being, having opinions and ideas and goals and dreams, right? That is inherently a 3D sort of access point. Whereas healership is soul-based. It's based in the mysteries and the etheric bodies. And if we look at, you know, even the word transform, right, to change form, to move between form, coaching is not inherently transformation. Healership is rooted deeply in moving between form.
Right. Yeah. Which is why I think that I end up with a lot of coaches who are realizing that what they really are doing or what they're called toward is transformation, and they're called towards healership. And then having to work with the reality of these are actually two different systems and structures in the way that they interact with the world and the way that people talk about them. And then how do we integrate these pieces? So there are a lot of coaches who are being called towards more of a healership way of being. And that takes some work, honestly, mm-hmm. to go through that process.
Yeah. I have some apprentices who have been in that position and they're like, oh shit, I have to remodel my entire business now. I say, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, cause there, it is this, you can't get away with when you're doing this work that is rooted in the mysteries, you cannot get away with a synthetic structure of your work.
I love the way that you said that, right? The synthetic structure. If it feels synthetic, don't do it. Right. I love that word for this. And what was I going to say was around this idea of the healing energy, right? Like you're a healer and we're working, like you said, in the etheric bodies, in energy, in soul level stuff. So when we start incorporating sales and marketing tactics that are actually you know, running against healing current, meaning that they have at their essence some amount of trauma-inducing copy or words or images, like whatever. Like we're making people go into their trauma in order to sell them something. We're putting them into, because pain is a thing, right? Like it's a well-known marketing tactic. If you make somebody feel their own pain, they will buy anything.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, in our last episode, actually.
Yeah.
The whole pain point, right?
Right.
I remember, Kat, do you remember the first time you learned about this? Like, what was your reaction to learning about this?
I was like, when a coach was saying, okay, so you need to figure out, and it's important to figure out what your people are hurting around, right? Because then you can talk to them. It's important to figure out what your people are hurting around, for sure.
Yeah, but it's important to figure it out. But I mean, I ask because I remember having someone essentially tell me, you know, walking me through this process of figuring mm-hmm. out the pain point, and then saying, you need to poke people in this way.
Right. You poke their pain and then right. keep them in their pain.
Right. And on I got really upset.
If you right. have the ability to pull them out of their pain, don't do that because they won't buy the thing. I've had right. that, I've seen that. I've heard that multiple times.
How do you feel when, or do you remember the first time you learned that or heard about that? Like however many years ago that was, how did that feel to you?
Well, I think that it's shocking. I think it's shocking to those of us who kind of go through life with this idea of, how can I cultivate more compassion? How can I be more kind? How can I be more of service? How can I help people more? To be like, so you want me to hurt them so that.
Right. I remember I had that same experience. I was like, wait, so let me back this up. You are telling me that in order to have a successful business, I need to actively and consciously contribute to traumatizing and dysregulating somebody's energy field so that they have an upsetting, jarring experience. Like, go fuck yourself. That was my response, basically. And I was really mad about it. And
right. What was their response to you though?
I didn't actually say go fuck yourself. That was my internal response,
okay.
They did say, well, this is how it's done.
This is how it's done.
Essentially, that was their response, was this is how it's done. And I remember thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Like this can, I will not, this is so opposed to everything that my business, let alone my business, like this is opposed to everything that I, as a force of love and compassion and everything that I'm trying to do in the world to help create ease and alignment and harmony. That bringing that into my business, into even trying to get somebody to work with me, felt like the dirtiest, grossest thing. And I refused to believe that this is how it's done, that there was no other way around that.
I've seen people give up at that moment. I've seen people be like, I'm out, can't do it. I'm going to go do something else. I've seen people like be like, if that's what I have to do in order to be successful at this, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And it's tricky because it works, right? It fucking works, you know?
That's funny. I actually don't know how well trying that really worked for me. Maybe it was because I didn't actually
You didn't mean it. But,
I didn't actually do it.
It's there because it works, right? It's been tested, it's been tried, it's been true in many years of marketing research and how things work. And it's relying on, you know, people's fears and their pain and their suffering and their struggle in order to get them to purchase something.
Yeah.
And yeah. So,
And that's old paradigm all over, right?
Right.
You want to talk old paradigm sales tactics, like that's in it in a nutshell.
Right.
And it's a bummer.
It is a bummer, but.
But there is another way.
Right. Because we as healers, right? So what I see is that what we were talking about, this transformation, right? That we are agents of change. We're agents of transformation. So if we can actually engage with our work in a higher way, and we can not rely on things that feel disingenuous and gross to us, and we can have a transformational experience where we actually change business through healing, then we're really accomplishing something, I think. So I have a lot of hope and in positive outlook on what's possible here. And I still see that a lot of us are operating from our own fear. So I think that when we look at that, to also look at our relationship to our own fear, our fear of failure, our fear of struggle, our fear of not making it, of not being good enough, of all of the things that are there that are being fed on by both people trying to sell us stuff, but just, you know, any kind of negativity that we're putting into what we're creating.
Yeah. So let's talk about the entity of your business. So what is, with all of this, looking at contrasting all the bullshit that we see in the entrepreneurial world and the business coaching world targeted at healers, even though it's not actually appropriate advice for healers, what are some of the hallmarks of your healing business as its own entity? We've already named a couple of them, right? So we've listed your business is an extension of yourself. Kat, I love that you were talking, this was quite a while ago, but you were talking about your business not only holding space for the initiations and the portals and the growth of your clients, but also for you, right? Where your business it, as an extension of yourself, it's part of this necessary vehicle for your own growth and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What else would you add to that? Where would you go with that?
Well, you are also talking about its, you know, it has its own life force and energy. It has its own, you said contracts, right? It has its own soul contracts with the people that you are meant to support and engage with guides and energies that you are specifically designed to bring through, with modalities, with codes, with different kinds of energy work, remembered energy work that you're designed to bring through. These all have their own life force. And when we talk about life and life force, when we start to see it as an entity, then we can take it out of this box of that is this thing that I do things to, right? It's more like a child, where you accept the fact that this being has come into your life and it's unpredictable and it has its own personality and it has its own circadian rhythm. It has its own it has its own metabolism. It has its own hormonal system. It has all of these different systems. And the more that you pay attention to it and you feed it and you focus on it, the more it grows and it becomes more of whatever it is that you're focusing toward it, you know, just the same as a child or anything that you're paying attention to and growing. And so within that, it takes some level of surrender and acceptance that there are going to be cycles and rhythms inside your business that you might not be comfortable with.
Yeah. I think that's a really important piece, right? Because the cycles and rhythms inherently, energy works in expansion and contraction. And despite what we might be told in the business coaching world, where we're constantly spoon-fed bullshit, like 6 figures in 60 days or whatever, or like expand, 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 or like every year you should be growing your business or whatever, that may not be what's happening within the unique life force of your business as an entity. Again, because there are periods of expansion, but there are also periods of contraction, and that's just the law of how energy works. And it doesn't mean that, oh, you'll go, you know, from making, you know, 6 figures 1 year to To like half of that the next year. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but there are natural ebbs and flows that if we are in integrity with how the entity of our business is wanting to express itself, then we will acknowledge, okay, last year I really had a super easy time getting a bunch of people in this program, but this year it's like pulling fucking teeth and it's really, really hard to get people in this program. Does that mean that my energy is wanting to go somewhere else? Maybe my business is wanting to grow in this other direction this year, or maybe the timing's just not right, rather than trying to force it. So it brings in, it's almost like a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Of how can we be in active co-creation and collaboration with our business, again, as its own entity. I love, Kat, what you said about it, imagining it like a child, right? Because, okay, well, what does your kid want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, today I don't
sometimes
want to
you might be like, I just tantrum. It's just a fucking tantrum day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. And this, this piece around the contracts of our business. And I would also add in, for those of us who are working with these really ancient mystery schools and lineages, that's its own separate thing that goes through the body of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Because you also are then a steward. You are a steward of these ancient mysteries that are coming through you. And your business is part of how those ancient mysteries are surviving and adapting to serve in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, I'm teach alchemy, right? And that was one of the really big things that I needed to get good with and still continue to spend a lot of time and energy around is how can I be in integrity with this super ancient, super complicated body of knowledge that it has roots in lots of different places all over the world, that has expressions in the Western world and the Eastern world, that has, it is so vital. And I'm just heading into year four in the spring of teaching the alchemy course. And it's every single year, it's teaching me more about how are my contracts with this lineage changing? And what do I need to do in order to support the vitality of this entity, of this lineage, through the entity of my business?
Right. And the same is true for other lineages. And sometimes you're not even aware of what you're holding. You're not really fully aware because you might have learned something. And, you know, for shamanic work and so many people are called to what is very shamanic work and are holding something that has been moving through them for many lifetimes and is wanting to be in the world and is wanting to do what it does, because that's what it does. It likes to do that. And also having to be in integrity and be in contemplation about what that means. And what it means individually and collectively to be doing that kind of work and what it means inside of a business to do that kind of work. It can be tricky.
Yeah.
It's gonna be deep soul searching. If it's not deep soul searching, look harder, I think.
Love that. If it's not deep soul searching, what did you say? Look harder?
Yeah.
Great.
Look harder, do more.
Do better.
do better. Right.
Speaking of helpful advice, do better.
Do better. Yeah. Right. It's kind of like one of the quotes of one of the spiritual teachers that has since passed that I really love. He started out his book with, if there is a harder path, please let me know so I can try that. And sometimes you're going to feel that way. Like, oh my God, what, why did I choose this? Oh, wait, I didn't choose it. And,
but you did.
But you did. And so
yeah,
here we go. And I think one of the things that you said when you're talking about, you know, the integrity of it, that there is a need to, one of the things that I encourage is to be really clear on what are the ethos of your business? What are the ethical, societal commitments that you're making inside of this toward whatever it is that you really believe in and you want to see happen in the world, and you want to have a contract socially towards change, and is your business fulfilling those? And if not, then what's the next step to help to make it fulfill those agreements that you're making even more?
We did an episode on that, right?
Yeah.
What was that? Social responsibility of spiritual practitioners.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're so good at remembering those things.
Thank you. I remember pretty much
everything. Right. So, I don't know, Michelle, where do you think that you've made some of your bigger mistakes?
In business specifically.
Specifically. Right? Okay. Yeah.
I think it's funny because I've really come to look at them not as mistakes, but as growth points. But for the sake of this argument, we'll look
at what are your bigger growth points?
My big growth points. One big growth point was really putting a lot of power in what I thought that the entrepreneurial community, specifically like business coachy community and way of doing business, could give me. And what I mean by that was, and this was really a few years ago, I think when I was kind of steeped in it a little more, where I was, you know, hanging out with pretty much exclusively with entrepreneurs and coaches and business coaches. And so that's who I was spending a lot of time with. And I was spending a lot of energy also in that type of world with the materials I was reading. And I tried to do that to my business. I tried to, you know, use the systems and the funnels. And now I didn't go, I would say, like, I've seen people go in sort of the extreme end of that. I didn't go quite to the extreme of it, but I did. I think the mistake was in that I believed that there was something that I didn't know or didn't have access to that some program or teacher could teach me about the entity of my business. When in fact, what was really needed and what I think has been the true gem, the diamond that I have gotten out of that experience was that I am the only one who can truly see and truly know and understand and collaborate with the entity of my business. There is nothing that any other person can give me in terms of that direct relationship that I do not have access to myself. And it was really empowering to realize that. It was really very, very empowering to simply allow myself to see my business as a living entity rather than as a system and structure. And as soon as I did that, and again, this was a few years ago that I really clicked into that different way of viewing it. As soon as I did that, it freed up a lot of, I would say I'm a pretty confident person in general. I feel great about myself and my work and everything, but it gave me this new level of freedom and permission and confidence in the way that I was serving people and myself and the world. And it gave me this permission to have periods of time also where my business wasn't actively growing in the traditional sense, because I knew there was something else happening. So it allowed for a much more powerful and subtle and close experience that ultimately has given me a lot more freedom and helped me make a lot more money. So win on all levels and helped me serve a lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you, Kat? Big mistake? Or
I would say buying anything when I'm in a state of fear, reactivity. Oh my God, I've got to fix my business. I've got to buy this thing. I've got to, you know, I'm up at 3 a.m. watching a friggin' webinar. Like, if that is where I'm at, like, that money, I might as well just tear it up and throw it in the cat box. Like, we're just done. I would say that. Anytime I've purchased anything in a deep state of fear, I have just thrown my money down the toilet.
And what have you learned from that?
I've learned that one of the main pieces of healing that I've received in my business has been around money and around, I don't feel necessarily that when your money shit has been healed, you're going to make $1 million. And that's something that business coaches like to sell you. I believe that when your money shit has been healed, even when you're not making any money, you're okay. And so I think that what that was really signaling to me was that I needed to work on my nervous system. I needed to work on regulating myself, on working on releasing some old wounds and trauma from my childhood in association with money. In looking at the beliefs that my parents had instilled in me around money and my current beliefs around my own ability to produce and my own value, all of those things. As I worked on myself, I actually bought those things and didn't do anything with them. I engaged with the materials. I took a bunch of notes. I started things. I built webinars that I never used. And because I hated them, I just hated it. And I was like, I cannot connect to this at all. When I've reached out and been like, I don't know what to do with my business, and like tried to get somebody else to tell me what to do, then that's been a mistake. I have gotten some great support with being like, okay, I know what I want to do and I need some support in figuring out how to do it. And so I have gotten some good support on that, but more has come from like where I'm coming from in my decision-making process.
I like where you were going with that. Let's talk about like what good support looks like for a healership business, right? So I've definitely gotten some good support, partly from you, Kat, and just in terms of our friendship and our collaboration and bouncing ideas off of each other, just because, again, you know, I know that you have a very similar view of how you engage with your work. And so I know, and also we know each other really well. So, but there's this inherent trust of, I know that you view your work the same way as, mm-hmm. as I do. And so it is a really easy way for me to say, okay, here's what I'm experiencing in terms of vitality around this program or this practice, or it kind of feels like I need to do something a little differently this year. And, you know, we had this conversation actually about a year ago in January of 2020, where I was really feeling like, you know, something feels off about I Am Alchemy this year. Something feels like it needs to be done differently. I feel like I would say this is actually a huge success that I've had in my business, and I'll tell you why. But this feeling of like, I need to not do it the same way this year. I think I need to not have the retreats. And this was in conversation with Kat, and I was like, I don't know, I can't explain it. Like, and she helped me sit, you know, by asking questions and saying, well, what would that look like? What does that, you know, do for your work? And it was really helpful to have this support from somebody, again, who can feel and track the aliveness of not only me, but of my work. And then I presented that to the students that I had already registered and said, hey, do you still want to do the course? They said yes. And then a month later, we all learned about COVID.
Right.
And retreats weren't a thing anyway. And so this ability that I had, you know, a lot of factors contributed to that being a success. Number one, I had given myself permission. I had already spent a couple years or a few years by this point in this collaborative conversation with my business. So when I was getting a lot of signals that something needed to change, I was listening. Number two, I gave myself permission to make a decision that didn't make sense to me because I trusted the entity of my business that it was needing something. Number three, I got support from someone, Kat, who speaks the same language as I do, both in terms of the healership and then also obviously our friendship and connection, but also the way that she interacts with her business. And number four, I took action on it because I was able to trust and because I have this, again, this freedom to be in radical collaboration with how this ancient lineage wants to move through me. And then I found out later why it was such a good thing that I did all of that instead of scrambling at the last minute and potentially losing a lot of money on on deposits, on retreat deposits.
Right. Like just to be able to have conversations with somebody who actually knows what you do. Like not just, oh, I kind of think maybe you do some Reiki or something. Like, no, I actually can see what you do and I can feel the energy of what you do and I can tap into the life force of what you're bringing through. That is incredibly beneficial for people like us because sometimes we get caught up in things and we lose sight of our own life force. We lose sight of it because we're under a mess of logistics. So I think that that is really, really helpful. I was helping someone this morning with structures on business. And I think that that's something that we do need help with sometimes. I find that that's really helpful. I'm insanely organized. I have very Virgo rising. And so my Google Drive is like on fucking point. And the way that I organize my, because I have a lot of programs that I run. So the way that I organize my my program launches and all of my stuff is really organized. And the way that I think about things is very organized. So this morning I was on a call with somebody who I'm helping with some business stuff. And I was like, okay, let me share my screen. Let me show you all the things. Here's all my spreadsheets. Here's what all of this looks like. Here's how I organize things because I need to see it visually. I need to see it like this. And this is really helpful for me. And that was really helpful for this person because I think that we come into this from you know, a very oftentimes like somatic and energetic and what do you call that? We're like communicative, you know?
Sense.
Yeah. But it's like, we're people, right? We're not necessarily always the best at like systems analysis people. So
well, I came from a biology background, so I already loved spreadsheets. So, but yeah, not everyone does.
Right. But we just don't know. We don't know how to structure things. So I think that that can be really helpful is to, have support on, like, how do you, like, what are the logistical structures that you actually need? Like basics, like basically, and to not overcomplicate it. I think a lot of times people get support in building things out. I know this has happened to me where I get support building something out. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is so complicated. You just built this thing and I'm never going to be, it'll take me years to figure out how this works because I'm trying to understand the way that, you know, this person's mind thinks who's like an IT person or like, you know, somebody who's coming from a different kind of way of relating, learning style, you know, these kinds of things. It's like you said, like somebody who speak your language, right? Understand what you do and then be able to communicate with you in a way that you can learn. You know, because I've definitely done programs that I'm like, I can't understand, like, I can't learn this as much as I'm like in it. I'm like, this isn't the way I learn. I can't do it this way.
And that's ultimately rooted in, are you empowered in your business or are you just following somebody else's formula? And because I know plenty of people who are just saying like, well, I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works, but I'm just using this person's formula because they've proven that it works. So I'm just plugging stuff into this formula and spitting it back out on social media and emails. And that, I mean, if it's working for them and it makes them happy and it is supporting their people, like I can't fault that, but I could never do that because I wouldn't understand it and it's not coming from me. Yeah. So you know, there is, to be fair, like both Kat and I have plenty to say, obviously, about the bullshit and the naysaying around the business coaching industry. But, you know, I know it is, I know plenty of business coaches who are truly deeply motivated mm-hmm. in helping practitioners and who are genuinely rooted in compassion and, yeah. and wanting their people to succeed.
Yeah.
So we know and love plenty of business coaches, not to say that we don't. And also take it with a grain of salt and look at what type of support is best for you and your business.
Right.
It may come from a business coach. It may not. It may come from someone like Kat or like myself, or somebody else entirely who is able to see you and see your work. And ultimately that's the most important part, I feel like, is can this person see you, actually see you and see your work, and help you be in integrity with this entity, this living, breathing, vital, growing, evolving entity that is your service in the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think that something else I'm just going to throw out there is that sometimes we need to turn off the noise and we need to stop looking at everyone else and start paying attention to ourselves. And like really tune into what this is that wants to come through you and give it the space and the breadth it needs to find its form and engage with it creatively. And, you know, like, it's like, if you're being called to shamanic work, dance your business, right? Like get out there and sing it, like be like, okay, I'm calling you in. Like, what is your song? Be creative, come from that soul level of what it is that you're doing and come from it in that way. Because sometimes we look outside of ourselves and we're in this big comparison game and this person says they can make me $1 million. So I'm going to, you know, give them $30,000 and, you know, like really sit with it.
Yeah.
And be with your business, be with it deeply, and find out what is it whispering to you, and what is it asking for? What does it need from you? And sometimes you just need support on like one little thing, or you need support on, you know, coming up with a program or a structure or something. But like, we can get lost in other people's ways of doing things. Yeah. For sure.
And it's ultimately about your essence that is unique, you know, and I have an apprentice that I've been supporting for years and years. You know, we're friends. She's a client of mine. She's been a client for a very long time, and she's done all sorts of studies with me. And sometime last year, we were having a conversation, and I was saying, you know, it really feels like what I see in you is this struggle. Basically, Kat, what you're saying of like, I felt all the noise in her work. And I said, I don't actually feel you in your work. And she said, you know, I know. And we spent, honestly, like we're still in it, but I kind of threw her into the void, I guess I'll say, but it's, you know, this encouraging of, you know what, you don't need more trainings. You don't need more certifications. And our work together is going to focus not on any specific teachings or instruction, but instead on pulling all the crap out of the way so that you can actually be in touch with that true essence of your being, because I feel like that's gotten really lost in your work. And she said, yeah, I totally agree. And so that's where we've been for the last 4 months or so. She looks completely different.
Yeah, she does. I just saw a picture of her. I was like,
right? She's like a completely different person. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, this, you know, you want to look at transformation, right? Like this, it's the essence. Is your essence allowed to breathe? And the only way that you can do that is by just like getting a lot of the noise out of the way. That was a really good piece of advice, Kat. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to watch myself on that. This last couple of months, I finally have unsubscribed from a lot of newsletters that I've been just letting marinate. And like, I never opened them. I've been on them for years. Some of them there's newsletters I've probably been on for like 10 years that I just never open, never look at, or I might every once in a while, but it's just that, like that energy coming in all the time. Or I might look at it and then be like, oh, should I do this thing? And no, okay, well, I just finally just started leaving all that stuff behind, because what's really important, I think we have to look at, like, we don't have a lot of years on the planet. We don't have a lot of time. And what are you going to spend your precious moments on? If this is your sole mission, your calling, if your soul went out of the way to embody at this moment in time and come to this planet, maybe from some other friggin' solar system, then you have got to get on your shit and stop trying to be someone else.
Yeah, mic drop. Mm. I just had so many more ideas, and we've already gone.
Let's start. Well, let's start a new one. Let's start a new one.
I think we should save these ideas for another thing, because I'm like, oh, and this. But you know, Kat, I think this is so important, right? And I know you support a lot of people in this. I think I support a lot of people in this too. And again, we've both been in business. How long have you been in business, Kat?
I mean, it's been over 10 years.
Something like that. And me, I started my business in 2009. So I will be, my business will be 12 years old. I will have a preteen this year. And we've made a lot of mistakes. We've had a lot of growth edges. We've had a lot of really, you know, coming into this true empowered relationship with our business. And, you know, it's truly with so much love that we wanted to share all of this with you. So Kat, what are you wanting to share with
people? When you say that, I just have to say, like, there have been moments in this journey. Michelle and I have known each other since 2013. There have definitely been moments in this journey where both of us have just been like, oh my God, what am I doing? Or like, can I please just not do this? Can I choose something else? Can I just like go work at the bookstore or something?
Like, we're sitting in Whole Foods eating, like in the eating area, like, do they have applications?
Like, can I just get a job and get out of this? Like, because, you know, either things aren't working or not sure what to do next, or, you know, you plan some event and nobody shows up or it gets canceled, or, you know, burn your eyeballs and you can't like actually participate. So
all of these things have happened,
you know,
not just
things. These things have actually happened to us,
right? Not
just making shit up. Michelle has traveled, you know, to me to do an event, and then it just completely get bagged out
because Kat's picking me up at the airport, looks at her phone. Oh, it's canceled.
Nothing to do with us. Right. But circumstances of other people running an experience. you know, if you happen to find yourself in these places of confusion, of fear, of struggle, of can I please do something else, of why did I choose this, or why is this not working, you know, just know that it probably is a growth. It probably is part of your process. You're looking to transform something in you. You're looking to grow. You're looking to heal something within yourself, and it's totally normal. And you will more than likely make it through this and become more empowered and creative and easeful in your business over time. And, you know, you still might need some support. If you feel like you do need support, both Michelle and I do work on this stuff with people. I have been called to do something. I ran Light Warrior Mentorship, which was a 6-month program that had a lot of business stuff in it. And I ran a retreat, but I've been called to create a program called Aligned Practitioner that's going to be coming out starting in February. And that is going to be for practitioners and basically going through all of these things of really determining who you are, what you do, how you do it, connecting to this, your work energetically, to your ethos, to your structures, to how you're bringing and birthing this baby into the world and raising it as a productive member of society. So if that's interesting to you, then just reach out. You can send me an email, kat@katherinebird.com. It's on my website right now. You can sign up right now. Or you can, I don't know, those are the best ways to get in touch with me, Facebook or any of those things.
Yeah.
So that's what I have going on.
for that, it's not just new practitioners, right? Because
right.
Yeah, you say you're talking about like birthing this business into the world, but I would say even if you have an existing practice, I mean, I'll be popping in to align practitioner
yeah.
because
I have clients who have been in business for a long time. I have clients who have been in business for a long time. I have clients who have spent the $15,000, $30,000 on business coaches who, but are still coming to me instead. I have clients who have bigger businesses than I do who come to me for this stuff because this is about soul calling and it's about gaining more clarity, more tools, more structures, whatever it is that's needed. And so this is going to have live coaching with it, group coaching calls, and a possibility to even do one-on-one calls if you feel like that's really going to support you. So I'm excited about it because I love that we get to, I love that we get to do this, right? We're no longer like hidden in the cottages with the like, bring me a chicken and I'll do something for you and don't tell anybody because they'll come and kill me. We get to actually be out there. We get to say what we do. We get to talk about it. We get to be passionate and
shamans out and it's proud.
Exciting. It's exciting that we get to do this. So we should take advantage of it because our forebearers who walked the road for us to be here were not so fortunate.
Yeah. Awesome. I cannot recommend this highly enough. Again, having been on the receiving end of Kat's business support plenty of times, she's amazing. Please, please do go participate in that if that calls to you. In terms of what I'm offering at the moment, I'm inviting people into I Am Alchemy. So if that's something that you feel called to into this ancient lineage of alchemy, this will be the fourth cohort. So it just keeps getting better and better, people. There's all sorts of new stuff coming through this year in terms of adds to the curriculum and different practices. And I'm even like, oh my gosh, Kat, I don't know if I told you about this, but I've been making Spotify playlists for like all of the different teachings. So of now all my students, like when we do a teaching on a particular topic, then there's an accompanying Spotify playlist that you can listen to for all your movement practices to go have this multi-sensory experience of the energy, because why not?
You've been building out a lot of new materials as you've been kind of taking a break, but you've been producing videos and movement practices and all kinds of things that I think it's going to be epic.
Thank you. And I actually lowered the price for this year. Yeah, I did. So you're getting
get on the
awesome, amazing, and all the new, awesome, amazing stuff for even cheaper than it has been in the past.
Great. I love it. I wouldn't recommend this enough. You aren't going to find, let's just say you are not going to find this anywhere else.
This doesn't exist anywhere else. I've looked.
It doesn't exist. It does not exist.
Who else is teaching alchemy? This is not a thing. Like
this. It's not a thing so much. So if there is an alchemist wanting to be awakened or trained or come into mastery, this is definitely the program to do.
Thank you. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it starts in April. So we've got some time, but please contact me through my website. You can go to joyofenergy.com and there's alchemy stuff on there. You can fill out an application straight through the website. You can email me michelle@joyofenergy.com if you'd rather start the conversation that way. But let's get the ball rolling so that we can make sure it's a great fit. We have a conversation and then we get you started with your preliminary preparations. So if that sounds good, then hop on board the alchemy train. Choo choo.
Thank you for tuning in, showing up again, like and comment and share. If you know someone who's a practitioner who would benefit from this, if you have a friend who's a practitioner who's lately been freaking out a little bit and like worried about their business and like being like, oh, should I invest in this $30,000 thing? Send them this. And And then, yeah, what are we? ShamanSisters@gmail.com. You can reach out to us or on our website of the same basic name.
ShamanSisterSessions@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's it.
The Shaman Sisters are somebody else. We've talked about
that's true. They are jewelry makers.
Yeah.
ShamanSisterSessions@gmail.com. And we will see you on the next episode.
Yep. Bye, Kat.
Bye.